Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 464. And I do want to thank Pat for getting it started last week since I was off gallivanting.
The thing I'm most impressed about my performance last week is that I actually got the intro out without screwing it up. It's harder than you think.
Thank you. Especially when you have people intentionally distracting you, you know, like Josh would.
Exactly,
yeah. So yes, but I appreciate you getting it kick-started while I was off off gallivanting, but there's a story behind that. So, but I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Dave,
Pat,
Brandon.
Spencer is doing something with his mom, and Mike just told me to do something.
Yes, Spencer apparently had the same message, slightly different phrasing, so he may get beat with a hoagie next week.
Oh, okay.
Which I know he kind of likes.
Yeah, well, that's true. But the reason I was not here yesterday is we've been looking at houses for a while. Too long. But we had wanted to see one, and the earliest he could get us in was 7:15 last week, when normally we start recording about 7:30. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'll be right back. I probably won't be here after, you know, by 8, so it won't be a big deal. But we were there for about an hour and put an offer in, and they accepted, so... Missed most of today while I was off doing the home inspection. Well, I was there with the guy doing the home inspection. I was.
I wouldn't trust my.
Yeah, that looks good to me. You know.
Doesn't have a roof. Yeah, it looks good.
No, there's something up there. Yeah. So that'll be an ongoing saga. Let me see. I don't think we got any questions. I did submit.
Yeah, we haven't gotten questions. Yeah,
we haven't gotten questions in a while, no.
Well, we had questions last week.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. One was for you, and I guess...
Yeah.
We answered on your behalf. I think we were pretty close to the answer you would have given anyway,
okay.
So we were good.
Okay. So, no questions. The other thing is, Marvel finally gave us the information on what our Marvel discount will be through them beginning in October, I guess. And it's because they now have to get their books from the same place we get our books. And because of that, my discount from them dropped 10% from where it was, but actually technically that's 12.5% down because they're now calculating... shipping based on the retail cost of the goods they're shipping. So it's 2.5% of what we're paying. So my Marvel discount, or my discount on Marvel, effectively dropped 12.5% from where it was, which sucks. And so I won't be sticking with Diamond for Marvel. So only losing 7% is better than losing 12.5%. Yay me. But yeah, I worked it out, and even at the 7% ends up being real close to $10,000.
So. You can either use my pinky or my whole fist.
Exactly. That's basically what it is, yeah. But yeah, so I got to cut my Marvel orders by about $20,000 next year to cover what I'm losing. So.
Or you have to find another way to sell those books. I mean...
Well, not Marvel, because the Marvel costs me so much more now.
Oh, okay.
I have to limit what I order on them. So it'll pretty much be really tight to pre-orders. So if you do want Marvel Comics,
pre-order.
I'll make a big announcement, but starting in the August orders, it's going to be really tight. I can't afford to have any more shelf copies of their books.
Well, one thing that helps, and I know it's probably going away, but right now, okay, I can get the previews and I can look and go, okay, well, this is what's coming out with Marvel.
Right.
We can't do that with DC.
Right.
And the reason why I bring that up is, like, there's a Miracle Man book came out today. I had no idea.
Yeah. Nope. Most of the books I'm seeing for the first time on when I'm ordering them. And it's like, oh, well, gosh, nobody ordered that.
Because we don't know what's
right.
There.
No, I get it. And it makes it really hard. But the problem with the Marvel thing is I can't... With the extra Marvel discount, that covered a lot of sins. It let me over-order or miss on some books. It also let me order books like Ahoy and Valiant that I won't be able to order anymore. We're just going to be going real, real tight on books. I finished the order. I stopped at Boom. I didn't order anything after Boom.
Wow.
So, you know, and I'll go through and fill in based on pre-orders.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I'm not ordering anything anymore after Boom for the shelf. So, yeah, it's just going to hurt everybody. I don't think, and all the people that are going, hey, competition's good, and this is good for the industry, you're not quite understanding.
This isn't really competition, though.
It's not. It's just we have to order.
Monopolies.
Yeah, we have to order from someone else, and the books are becoming much more expensive for us. So, and people are like, oh, well, you could do this and this. I'm like, no, no. So you're basically saying work harder to make less. Thanks. Or I'll pivot my business away from new comics and new trades. Because Marvel decided to just totally shaft us.
Well, let's be fair. DC shafted.
They did. And then here's the secondary fears. Is that DC will suddenly see, well, why are we giving this discount if Marvel's only giving that discount? And so we'll lose that discount from DC. And my Marvel discount at Diamond will become my discount for everything from Diamond, which will drop pretty much every product by about 5.5%. And it'll just be overall, it's just not really going to be cost effective to carry comics anymore. For the shelf, you know, to take chances on books.
But if they the more companies that pull out of Diamond and we don't have this anymore, I can't pre-order.
Yeah.
And then you have the bigger problem where it doesn't work with Comics Hub and
Well, and even worse are the people using Diamond's pull box system. Diamond has, or DC hasn't worked with that since they left, and I'm sure now Marvel's not going to work with it.
Right.
Well, if they have Marvel books, it has to work, right?
You'd think. Well, it might, but it's going to be, yeah, who knows? It's just going to be a mess with different codes and all sorts of things. The DC thing has not gone smoothly.
And speculators are going to go nuts.
Oh, because everything's going to have short print runs.
Man, if only history could have predicted something like this had happened in the 1990s.
Well, then the problem becomes then everybody splinters off and some people go, like Scout is already at Lunar. And if other people, some go to Lunar, some go to Penguin Random House, and then then Diamond goes away. So you lose all the ones that haven't made these deals. And I have to order them directly from them. Well, if I order two $4 comics and have to pay $7 to ship them, that doesn't make sense. So, and then what happens when Penguin Random House decides, you know what, this just isn't working for us, we're done. Then what do we have?
Yeah, because there's no one there to take over at that point. You've killed the distribution model.
Right. So that's my fear, is that that's where we're headed. Because, with Marvel, Diamond essentially losing Marvel and DC, because I don't see anybody sticking with Diamond. It's just too big a difference. So, yeah, this is fun. Loads of fun. But yeah, I was talking with the guy from Penguin Random House, and I'm just like, this is how much more the books are going to cost me. Where's my benefit? And he's like, well, you can mitigate that a little bit by this. You have 1% here if you prepay for all your stuff, and 1%. I'm like, okay, you're nickel and diming me now.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I can save 4 cents here.
Right, but you can save 1% by prepaying, or let it sit in your bank account and earn 3%.
Right.
That's not a hard decision to make.
But that's up to you then. They keep factoring in the free shipping. I'm like, okay, my shipping on DC books right now is about $20 a week. So I'm assuming that's what my Marvel shipping will be similar. Because it's literally coming from a warehouse in Pittsburgh. So don't tell me it's going to cost a fortune to ship. So, or even if it's just coming from Maryland, it's not going to be a fortune to ship. So I'm like, I'm losing $200 a week and saving $20 a week.
Well, yeah.
That doesn't add up.
Worst case, it would actually come from Indiana, because that's where their other main...
Yeah, but I think they're setting up a new warehouse. I hope to God they're setting up a new warehouse. I got my first shipment 3 weeks ago. $900 shipment. 450 of it was damaged. I still don't have credits or replacements.
Penguin
Random House.
Oh, wow.
So everybody's like, oh, you get better terms. Well, that's great. I haven't had to pay for damaged product. Awesome.
I wouldn't pay for damaged product anyway.
Right. I got $450 worth that I can sell, and you want me to pay you $450. Well, that's awesome. So, so I'm not sold on them right now. It was basically in a box, with one air pillow to protect everything. And sadly, UPS, you know,
it's a technique.
It didn't work. It is. It was very, you know, we've all got those Amazon shipments where it's like, wow, that was kind of useless.
Yeah.
That's how that shipment was. So
I love it when they send me a book in a box. It's like,
yeah,
I get the box. I have no idea what's in it.
Yeah. So, but that's kind of how they have one, you know, one size box fits all. So yeah. I'm just, yeah, they keep saying they're going to do it differently with comics. Well, my confidence level is not high. Especially with Marvel Comics being so fragile since they print them on tissue paper. Yeehaw. So that's all the news I have. I don't remember any other news. We're having a little bit of fun on the retail side because we have the new previews and the stuff in there went live online like last week. We're still waiting for DC stuff. They're gonna try to get it out to us Friday. And there's some stores that do like print catalogs that they do when these come out to say, hey, here are our picks, here's a list of everything, you know, let us know what you want. And they're like, we keep doing these and we have no DC info in them because we don't know what you're doing. They just announced they're doing free comic book day books.
Okay.
On a public website. They still have given us no information about them, what our cost is, order, what order minimums are, anything like that. And it's like, okay. And somebody joked, oh, so your books are going to be for the free comic book day on Friday? That's and then right. Everybody else will be on Saturday.
Friday is free comic book day. Yeah.
DC free comic book day, yeah. So, yeah, just a lot of trepidation right now, just changes. It's like everything, you know, we all just made it out of this, and things are getting back to normal, and so, yeah, why not? Let's screw it all up again. But, yeah, my biggest problem is just the flat loss of discount.
You
know, the flat that your books are now more expensive, and I'm getting nothing to make it better on my end. It's more work and more expensive books for the same books.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to have something spectacular come out in October, or I think you're going to see your order numbers just plummet. Because I'm not going to order the same on books that are more expensive, you know, flat out.
What are, like, the heavy DC guys saying on the retail sites?
Not a whole lot. I tune most of them out, to be completely honest.
No, but I mean, to take the pulse, if they're complaining, then you go, okay, these are the diehard guys. Because, I mean, this has always been a DC store. But
yeah.
These are the diehard guys, and they're complaining.
Oh, about DC, the lack of info from DC? Yeah. No, there's a lot of that. But yeah, it's just... I just think Marvel is just going to... Hopefully their eyes are open a little bit. Like, gosh, these numbers are lower than they were. Well, I can't imagine why.
Yeah, and they have to do more than just number ones.
Oh, that won't do it. Well, the thing is, they are the X-Men number one we're already ordering. So that's what else are you going to do? Are you going to do a Spider-Man number one? You know, but that's probably all they're going to do.
But the number ones over and over again. It's lost its merit. They might as well be. They'd honestly, they do better going back to the old numbering.
Well, they like doing like that
line,
too,
line wide, and you know.
Yeah, but even when they try that, they can't get the numbers right.
Yeah,
that's my. Well, it's when you only have interns. What do you expect? So, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, Marvel really needs to step up their game product-wise. And then the other thing I enjoyed was last week in the little Marvel mailer. The next volume of Runaways and the next volume of Daredevil is increasing in price from $19.99 to $24.99 with no content change. It's like, now you're making the books randomly more expensive and lowering our discount. So like one of those went from $8 up to $12 for the same book. It's like, wow. So just random $5 price increases for no reason whatsoever.
And the Marvel trades are already overpriced.
Yeah. I just noticed, I don't order them, but the Masterworks, those hardcovers, mm-hmm. all the ones in the current, in the book I'm working on right now, were $100. I'm like, it's not an omnibus. It's a hardcover. It's a nice hardcover, I'm sure, but yeah. $100. And then lowering, you know, I'm like, their omnibus sales are going to get destroyed. because
you're gonna take out a second mortgage again.
Yeah, why would I order $125 book for the shelf if it's, you know, 7% of 125 is a lot, you know. To just eat on a book for you know, that's what, $10, you know, almost. You know,
I feel like the omnibuses only make sense if your store is like has a really good online presence.
Yeah.
Because when those things go out of print,
yeah,
now you can get three times.
Right, but you got to sit and hold it, and which ones are going to go out of print? Because not all of them are in demand, and those aren't easy to ship either. So yeah, it's
and
just
if it's damaged.
Oh, right, and it's going to get damaged unless you know, super pack it, but then
you're paying
$20 to ship it. You know, it's
it's
not going to fit in a media mailbox. Or not a media mailbox, but a priority mailbox. So, yeehaw! I honestly don't remember any other news.
So other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the flight?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like I'm not sure what to focus on now. We'll get back into gaming. Woo!
AWA, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if my discount drops on them, you know, that's the fear.
No, I got it.
Calling Pokemon.
You can't get them. You flat out can't get them.
Besides, you want to come here for gunfights?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, just from my understanding is people are getting minuscule percentages of their orders.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've had enough fun with Fortnite, so I'm good.
Well, if Target and Walmart stop carrying that stuff altogether, you'll probably be able to get it again.
Yeah. But, oh, in Fortnite. So they told us second prints or third prints of one and second prints of three would be out 6/2.
Okay.
Nope.
No?
Nope. Delayed. Don't know when they're coming.
Delayed.
Second prints.
Right. It's already done. All you got to do is print it.
Well, I think the problem is the bagging of it. But, yeah. It's like, great. So we've been telling all these kids I'll have them 6/2, and now they're going to come in 6/2 for them, and I don't have them. So.
Yeah, but they could also buy the same skins online right now, so they're not going to come in anyway.
Which is great, because now I have them ordered. You know,
yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, it's just a cluster. DC really seems to have nobody steering the ship. They just, I don't know. I don't know how you tell us that it'll be, you know, order it and it'll be in store 6/2 and then it's not. It's like, could you guys have botched this book any worse? I don't know. Not a fan.
They're going to show up and the codes won't be in there.
Yeah. But then, like you said, with the Mr. Miracle book, the Stargirl book, you know, nobody knew what was coming because they don't, you know, they rely on us to do all their promotion and then they don't give us tools to promote them. We don't get that, even that little pamphlet they used to give us.
Yeah.
So our option is printing a 96-page PDF and handing out to everybody.
Pretty sure you're not doing that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, with the Stargirl book, is Geoff Johns putting on a Stargirl book, is that enough to make that book popular?
No, but they think it's going to sell just on that alone, and they didn't need to promote it. You know, that would have been a great book to come out during the TV show.
Yeah.
But,
or if there was like an ongoing JSA or something, and now you had a, you know, Stargirl from that or something. I could see that.
But they got, it just ran, it's as
just
random as
just
can
random
be.
Random.
A Mr. Miracle book. Oh, but it's not the Mr. Miracle from the last Mr. Miracle book. It's a completely different character.
I was like, oh, okay. And then when I read the solicit on it, I was like, oh, no, I don't want this.
Yeah, completely different character.
I just looked at the author. It's like Brandon Hobo or something like that.
I don't even care about that. If it would have been a Scott Free book, I probably would have given it a shot because I really enjoyed what Tom King did. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, wait, it's not Scott.
Yeah. He's doing a Supergirl book. Well, that's great, but Supergirl never sells. It sold pretty well at the end when you canceled it, but okay. But no questions. Sorry, nobody loves us. I don't know. IBT must be really mad at us.
Yeah. What about Lord Retail? How come he hasn't sent us questions?
He'll often comment like the next day when he's listening.
No, these guys are a bunch of idiots. Isn't a comment.
Fair enough.
I've never seen the comments, so I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
No. But
I sit here and listen to us, so I...
You edit. So, what would you read, Dave?
Start with Heroes Reborn.
I read that.
Yeah. I read that.
Number three.
I'm not sure where this is going. Only in the sense of the last two issues have been basically one-shots about one of the characters.
Yeah.
Wouldn't this have been something to do before the event?
Yeah. It seems the backup stories is...
But this one was the thinnest of backup stories that could be.
I know.
It's like, have you ever heard of this person? I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, well, now you have. There was nothing to it.
If you read Avengers or listened to Dave talk about Avengers, which is how I got it.
Okay.
I dropped Avengers. Because this book should just be in Avengers.
Yeah.
Like, it's... It doesn't need to be out on its own like this, because it's really just a continuation of that storyline.
It's not the last storyline.
No,
though.
This
issue was
with Phoenix,
right?
And,
right, but the Phoenix didn't cause this.
Well, we don't know.
Right, we don't know. But Jermaine was telling me it actually ties back to the second one, which was a Hyperion story or something. So, sorry. 5-3 Penguins.
5-3 Penguins?
I mean, 5-3 Islanders.
Oh, God.
I did like this issue, though, just as a parody of The Flash.
Focuses on Gore. He's all cocky and arrogant, so he's reminding me of Quicksilver. In Quicksilver's cocky, arrogant days. Yeah.
What was her name? The Speedster Supreme, right?
Silver Witch.
Well, it's a Silver Witch, but he called her the Speedster Supreme because in this universe, Quicksilver died, and in doing so, transferred his powers to her.
Yeah.
So now she's,
apparently Blur had something to do with his death.
Yeah.
We learn also. And Silver Witch drags Blur into the Dread dimension, and his astral... He has limited time to get his astral form reunited with his body, so he's...
Which is seemingly not true, because he does a ton of stuff before it. Yeah. Art's good.
I'm just really struggling with this. Or do you have to read all the side stories to get the story? Because there's no story in this book.
It shouldn't be an event.
The first issue intrigued me, but the last two have...
You didn't like the Superior issue?
It was fine, but it's like, why are you doing one shots of each character?
This
isn't the place for that. This should have been somewhere else,
This is the first issue that bothered me in that way, that the story wasn't being driven forward.
Yeah. So it's going to be one story, then introducing of each of the five characters, and then issue 7 wraps it up.
Big boss fight.
Yeah.
Next one, Fantastic Four, Life Story.
I read that. Yep.
Number one, by Mark Russell.
The 60s.
Retelling of their origin. 1961. President Kennedy asks Reed to build a spaceship, take the first people into space after 3 failed attempts. And
that made a guy really mad.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? Doctor.
I forget.
Last name was simple, like Jones or something, but the first name was, different.
Because I didn't recognize him.
I didn't either.
Or an actual character.
Didn't either. So, Reed builds the ship, and it's going to be, but the project is canceled because they can't test like the antimatter fuel. So Reed gets his crew together so they could go up and sneak onto the base and get it up into space.
Yeah. Which, like, in a comic book, it's fine, but just from like a project plan type of a standpoint, like that's not how NASA would work.
It's
ridiculous.
So the cosmic rays mingle with the fuel, and that gives the Fantastic Four their powers. And President Kenny dubs them the Fantastic Four, and they start their career, their superhero career, and I liked debuting on the Ed Sullivan Show with the Beatles.
That was a good touch. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, I like that too.
And who's the guy? The blonde guy.
Johnny Storm?
No. He was a television host.
Dick Cavett.
Mm. Yeah, Dick Cavett's in there too.
Yeah, right? That was supposed to be Dick Cavett. Yeah.
See, I recognize him. And yeah. Like, I know, like, you know, like I could picture John Lennon on his couch and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't really know who Dick Cavett is, other than, you know, clip shows of whatever.
I think he was like the more intellectual of the group. He wasn't the
like, you know, Arsenio.
He wasn't the jokey guy, but he was more like the Tom. What was the who was the guy before Letterman? Tom
Snyder.
Snyder, yeah.
He's after Letterman.
Yeah, it was more of a conversational show.
No, I think Letterman replaced Tom Snyder when Letterman show started.
But then didn't he?
I think he might have gone to later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after, right? Dave hired Tom Snyder to do the show after his show. And then Reed is having these visions
of Galactus,
of Galactus, of this entity. They don't know what it is, but it's coming. That was kind of cool.
That was neat. And then he goes out and sees him, and the other guy switch places with Ben. And then realized that Reed was right, that entity was coming and that he wasn't crazy. But then Reed also realizes that now, by searching for him, now Galactus is aware of Earth, where before he wasn't. So he's going to cause the downfall.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just realized I got to get the invoices.
Yeah, it's a nice little...
It's like kind of the origin, but a little bit different.
Yeah. And it's...
And Ben really hated Reed. And Ben wasn't a friend of Reed. He was just an acquaintance of Johnny.
Johnny knew him from hanging out in the bar.
Yeah,
which was weird. He's like, oh, you need a, you know, a pilot?
A pilot, yeah.
Like, I know a guy at the bar. So, yeah. Stretched a little thin, but I think that's intentional.
It's
You know, I've only got one issue. There's going to be a lot of coincidences. But, yeah, pretty good. And it wasn't as Mark Russell can be very heavy-handed.
Yes.
The social commentary.
Yeah.
This was not.
No.
Yeah.
Not that way.
Next. Stray Dogs.
I read that too. Did we read all the same books?
I think we did.
I read it as well.
Well, damn. Oh my gosh. That. Turn quickly.
Yeah, I don't want to get too graphic on this.
Oh,
but nice.
See you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
But oh my gosh, this book.
Yeah. Not for kids.
Not for kids. And if
so, Dave read it,
I read it. Oh, it's.
Did you have to like say 45 Hail Marys and 200?
No. It's horror of the violent sort.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But we start to get some question answered of what happened to Victor, the little Dalmatian, when the master took him out in the shed.
Yeah, don't go in the shed.
After Earl the Bloodhound ratted him out.
Earl the Bloodhound is in trouble.
Well, Earl gets his moment. Earl might be the hero, or might be not so much.
And just that, and then that scene after Sophie goes into the shed to see what happened, and then she comes back through the doorway and just says run, and then there's all the dogs start barking and clawing the fence. Oh my gosh, that was done so well. It was just the tension and how how that was depicted. That was amazing, I thought. But
yeah, what did we say? What happened?
Yeah.
Is it okay to say what happened? Mm-hmm. they went. So, Sophie goes into the shed and sees Victor's hide.
Yeah.
Hanging from the ceiling.
And all the taxidermy kit.
Yep. Yeah. Then Earl ventures into the Forbidden Master's room.
Yeah. At the end, well, he thinks about it. He remembers when he was a puppy. And he came to the house for the first time, and he meets all these other dogs.
And he...
All the older dogs.
He smells.
Yeah. Because
there's one point where he's like, I smell him in here, but I also smell him over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then he smells him inside, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he... And was the Dalmatian's head on the wall?
I don't know. Yeah, it was. It was top left. Was it?
Oh, yeah. It's okay. That kind of explains, like...
I missed that.
You know, why are all the... You know, they found a piece. There's probably a piece buried somewhere. And, you know, so...
It's like Cruella de Vil's prom day or something.
This book is so good. This is one that I'm going to, like...
Yeah.
I'll pick up the trade and, like, gift it to people. Yeah. It's so good.
The interesting thing is they never show... They never show the master's face. They haven't shown his full face yet.
I think that's probably going to be a big reveal.
At the end.
Or maybe the dogs will eat it off.
It's Batman.
Yeah.
So it's been so good, despite the content. Last one, Radiant Black.
That was awesome.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Absolutely terrific. Yeah.
A total shocker ending I was not prepared for.
Yeah. That was the best book I read last week.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. So, how much do we want to spoil that?
I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't spoil the very end.
Yeah. So, everything that we've been leading up to, that was basically within like a page or two, completely, undone, seemingly. You know, I think there are ways where you could, it is a comic book, always reverse things, but this seems like it was, this is the big turn at the
But if they stick with that, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh yeah, it'd be that. And the other thing, when I was reading that, like, one of my the main character has been very much like a writer, and the first couple of issues they almost like it's almost like the author was writing themselves into the book a little bit, it has that kind of feel.
Sure.
And I almost wonder, like, at some point were they just like, you know what, this book isn't working, but rather than start over, I'm just gonna do this.
I wonder.
We've got a character I like, I'm gonna change things up. But, this is... Radiant Black is definitely one... It's ongoing, right? So
I believe so, yeah.
You know, I hope people pick this up and trade and get caught up, because, I feel like I'm on... this feels like it's Invincible to me.
Yeah.
I didn't read Invincible from the beginning, but like I hope this book goes like has an Invincible like run where it goes 100 issues and
keeps expanding the mythology a little bit of Radiant Black and this Radiant Red dude.
I was clicking something to see an email, and all of a sudden a pop up hit right as I was hitting, and then there was no X to close it, and it started playing. That's all. Trying to read something in an email, sorry.
Well, that's all I got then. We'll go to Pat.
Yep.
All right. Start off with Redemption, number 4. Anybody else reading that?
Nope.
No?
I think Spencer is.
Okay. Yeah. So it's really setting up kind of a predictable conclusion, unfortunately, but the Butcher, we get a little bit more of her backstory. You find out how she has a robot hand. Apparently, one of her partners tried to double cross her and switched out her speed loader with like exploding bullets. So when she went to shoot her, her hand got blown off. So that's how she got the robot hand. And it gets a little more. I don't remember them earlier talking about like the scarcity of water, but you know that's like their crimes around there is they're stealing water trucks and things like that. So, but it's you know kind of setting everybody up on a collision course to where the Butcher's gonna come into town and you know face off with the woman that had betrayed her to try to rescue her ex-lover. So it's been a fun book. Nightwing number 80.
I read that.
So I thought this was an alright issue. It was a little slow until about 2/3 of the way through it. Detectives show up at Dick's house because of the homeless guy that they found without a heart. Dick had gotten him a hotel room that he never checked into, so you know, and he had reported his wallet stolen, so automatically, you know, that kind of made him a suspect. But he has Barbara come back to the apartment, and she acted as his alibi. And they were together. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, she wasn't there, but it acted like her alibi. And then he calls on Tim Drake to help him to go, basically to where all the homeless kids, like their little encampment, to try to get closer to the kid of the guy that died, because he knows he's not going to trust an adult, but maybe he'll trust another kid. While they're there, a couple of like D-level villains show up to do some collections. You know, kind of one of those 10% of every crime in Bloodhaven gets kicked up the chain, and they're there to collect. So while that's all going on, someone sets a fire in this encampment. And you know, who do you see in silhouette through the flame, and then up close is Heartless. So it's setting up for them to fight in the next issue.
I actually liked the first half of this. Like the part with the detectives. Like I almost hope that becomes a running thing throughout the series where, you know, they suspect Tim of something. And
Dick,
yeah, sorry. But like I thought that part was great when they come in and they're trying to put the screws to him and Barbara, and they're like,
I have a law degree.
They're like, so do I, actually. More about this than you do. Like I thought that was a funny scene. And then there's a funny scene where they're on the comms. And Tim's like, hey, you know, Batgirl spent the night last night. And she's like, you know, I'm on the comms. Like, I can hear that. And he's like, well, I do now. Like, that was a, yeah. And the other thing is the art in this is so good. Like, this is the best looking book that I'm reading right now. Like, the color palette and just, like, it feels just so, like, I don't know. Like alive,
and you know, by his very nature, his fights are more kinetic, mm-hmm. And that's certainly shown in the art. But I also think it's the art is more soft than like Batman. In Batman, it's very angular, it's very hard. It's not as much in the Nightwing book.
This is like, you know, the art is doing acrobats, like acrobatics, but yeah, this is a great book.
And the last one that I read was Shang-Chi, number one. Let me read that.
Not yet. It's in the pile, but I picked and choosed. No? I said, what would Dave read? And that's all I read.
F-pad.
So you read Red Room.
A good philosophy.
No, that was honestly, it was too long. I was trying to cram in a bunch last night, and I'm like, this is going to take a while.
So the name of this arc is, you know, Shang-Chi versus the Marvel Universe. In this issue, he runs into Spider-Man. He doesn't fight Spider-Man, he fights with Spider-Man. There was a lot of talk between him and Spider-Man, how he used to be his kung fu teacher. So I think it leans probably heavier on older series that I hadn't read, so I'm kind of, all right, fine, whatever. But it also ties into the last miniseries that we just had, where he's now the Supreme Commander of the Five Weapons Society, or Five Daggers Society. The society that his father was running. And he's working a drug ring case while Spider-Man is working a weapons ring case, and they happen to be the same ring. There's a guy, it's like a Chinese herbal medicine store that he runs, and this one herb that he has can make you like a mutant. And Spider-Man gets hit with it, and that's like really, you know, big fight, but it was like three panels. And this guy, King Wolf, he leaves because he's basically been put out of business. And then he runs into somebody who in the shadows just says, well, I can help you. We don't know who he's talking to, but we know the next issue is him versus Captain America. So my guess is it's probably one of Captain America's villains or something like that. But, it was fun. I don't think it was as good as the previous series, but it was a fun book. Brandon?
All right. We talked about most everything I read.
We're going to get out of here quick.
Yeah. Good. I got data entry.
We only find them when they're dead. I think this is number six.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the start of the second arc. And after the events like of the last issue, we have jumped forward in time, and we're at a point in the future where, for whatever reason, the gods have stopped coming back dead, which is causing like a bunch of issues like economically, because like a lot of the technology is based upon, you know, parts of their bodies, and a god comes back, and he looks like the captain from the first arc.
Okay.
So we don't know why that is. We don't know, like, did he ascend and become a god, or the gods not gods at all? There's some kind of like whatever. I don't know. But it's a good like we get introduced to new characters, but the art is still Simon DeMeo with the awesome colors, so it's really good, really interesting. And like it's one of those books where like I want to know why and how and all that kind of stuff, but they've sort of found a way to hit the reset button a little bit. So it's really good. So I keep looking forward to each of those issues. Way of X, number two.
Just didn't get to it.
Okay. At the end of the first issue, Legion shows up, and Legion takes he tells Nightcrawler, you know, basically, I need your help. Go get a team. And we'll go do a mission. So Nightcrawler goes and just kind of picks people from, seems like the bar at Krakoa, but he gets Dr. Nemesis and Pixie and they go back and meet Legion, and Legion takes them to like an Orcus facility, and this Orcus facility is seemingly trying to hack like Krakoan technology using Legion's brain. So this whole time Legion has been like astral projecting himself there, and like so in order to stop what Orcus is doing and to cause Legion to be reincarnated, Nightcrawler like shoots the brain that's like running all this technology that they're using to hack Krakoan technology, and so there's like it opens a question of like what have they like inserted into like the fabric of Krakoa that like did they like plant a virus or like set a scheme in motion, and there's this patchwork man who we saw in the first issue that like Nightcrawler can see him or like he's coming to him in his dreams, but we're not really sure what it is, and we thought maybe it was Legion, but it's not Legion. Legion's aware of the patchwork man too, but he's not the patchwork man. And anyway, you get this, the Nightcrawler shooting the brain is like this really, because it's basically murder, right? He's, you know, so he says this prayer like before he shoots the brain, and he sends everybody away. He wants people to be alone. And it's a really cool panel when he shoots this brain with Dr. Nemesis's gun. But and then after that scene, the book, you get the first page of what seems to be like a mute Bible almost, written by Nightcrawler, and then the rest of the book is kind of done in that in that form of like, you know, Nightcrawler is basically coming up with this mutant religion and like trying to like understand like, you know, the what does this all mean kind of thing. Book's really good. I think it's it grew on me, and there's a big reveal at the end. We learn who the patchwork is, and if you're gonna patchwork man is, and if you're gonna reread that, I won't spoil that. And there's a when Legion gets reborn, that happens in a very interesting way. It doesn't go as planned, so I won't spoil that either. But yeah, so this book's pretty good. How many issues is this?
It's like an ongoing, as far as I know, but who knows? Yeah. 10 seems to be their average.
There's no such thing telling about this X-Men stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole, this, they mention the gala, so, like, this whole book seemingly happens, like the afternoon before the gala, which, like, it feels really heavy-handed. Like, we need to have characters mention the gala, so, like, they're just randomly, for seemingly no reason, people are going to talk about the gala and their like outfits for the gala and like what they should wear for the gala, and it like it doesn't fit at all. It definitely feels like somebody was like, hey, this has to tie in.
Have they explained what the gala is yet?
No, it starts next week.
Well, they previewed like all the outfits, and it literally seems like that the X-Men are going to prom.
Yeah,
like that is the feel.
Well, it's like that Met Gala thing that they have in New York City.
Yeah, because we're also tied in with what's going on in New York City, so of course they would.
Yeah, and we know what the arc is after it, so we know what's going to happen at the. At least we have a pretty,
I guess,
very strong inkling.
Magneto's going to kill somebody at the gala.
Whoa!
Oh, spoilers!
Yeah. I hope it's not Dupe.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a mess.
Gold balls.
Gold balls.
Well, honestly, that would be the most interesting.
But gold balls, that then you can't resurrect.
If Magneto killed one of the five, can't be resurrected.
Oh,
like, that would be a huge.
Oh man, writing. You're writing the story. Wow.
So, but that's the thing. I don't think I'm writing the story. I think he'll probably kill some insignificant character.
Right, right.
Or
right.
Maybe there'll be a telepath.
Eye right. Boy.
Right? Because they don't reincarnate the telepaths because the telepaths are too important. Yeah. So maybe
is Captain Eyeball mutant?
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for me.
Okay. I just have two more. One was Wonder Girl, number one. Well, it starts with her. It's showing when she was a child, and I'm guessing it was Brazil, and she started to get it felt very much like the beginning of Conan the Barbarian. There were these three really big guys, and she goes running at them and stabs the one, and he's pontificating, or she's landing, and it's like the landing instructions of an airplane superimposed over this scene, and she runs up and stabs the one guy, and he's like, well, I wasn't planning on killing you, but you gotta do what you gotta do, and goes to kill her, and then her mom runs up and says no. He goes okay and decapitates mom, at which point girl is grabbed by someone else. Now it switches to the airplane, and she's landing, and this is her first time ever returning to Brazil, where she was born, but taken away to live in Utah or something by her aunt.
And her mother is not, like, superpowered or anything.
No, I guess not. Just... Yeah. Okay. So, but then with her landing there, now all of a sudden it's creating issues in different places. Nubia on Thymascara senses her, a great disturbance in the Force, and a couple other people who I don't... Oh, and then someone in, like, Hera or somebody senses it as well. And so her returning to Brazil is causing all these problems in the Force. So it was really... I don't know. Yeah. It
I think you're without
explaining
your
anything, and... yeah...
They need to work on how they introduce new characters.
Yeah, because it feels like they introduced her a year ago.
Because it's like, don't... Well, and the other thing, but don't bring them in and have them be superpowered.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big problem why Future State was boring. They brought in all these new characters that you're not familiar with. There's been no hero's journey for any of them. But we're just supposed to like, oh, they're on the Justice League.
Yeah, or maybe
now.
This
they're,
is now her journey. Yeah.
You know. Plug and play.
Yep.
It's like, it's, you know, it's a boring way to do it.
And then yet another Bat book, because we needed that like a hole in the head. But we have Legends of the Dark Knight, and this was written and drawn by Derek Robertson, which is fine, but oh my gosh, somebody's brought a lethal gas to Gotham and is willing to sell it to the highest bidder. And guess who got it?
Definitely not the Joker.
Definitely not the Joker who got it, and now Batman has to stop him.
Well, again, it could have been Scarecrow.
But it just, it was just like, why do we need this book right now?
Right.
We have, you know, and it's like, and detective...
Is this a 12-parter?
It's, I don't think this is a 3-part story, and then it's going to be a forum for some new person to write a Batman story, so they don't have to tie up Batman. And it's like, but the Batman story, especially when you've gone from bi-weekly to monthly, the Batman story seems so slow right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we have too much Batman, and none of it
matters.
Yeah. Who cares?
They should just have one Batman book weekly. That's the way
to
do it.
But just, yeah, or, yeah, it was good when it was Batman Detective, but now we have Batman the Detective, and even though it's Tom Taylor and Andy Kubert, nobody cares. It's a 6-issue mini.
I can't even remember what happened in that book.
Well, the first one, he fought Gentleman Ghost. Remember? It was the best thing ever. Yeah, it just...
Yeah, no, it's... The only thing I can think... When I think of that book, the only thing I think about is the goofy-looking Batman from the first issue.
Yeah.
That's the only
thing I remember
about it. Because
he's wearing a trench coat. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's got a flat top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Those miniseries, like, if I hear that they're good, I'll probably pick it up and trade. But, like,
yeah.
You know, I don't need a 12-issue.
But yeah, sure. Certainly can't have a Constantine book that was excellent. No, we need more Batman.
Oh, that reminds me. They dropped the cast of the Sandman Netflix show.
Okay. But it was Joanna. Yeah.
Yeah.
But But it's
is that an existing character? Because
Joanna yes, there was a Lady Constantine.
What is she from?
She's Sandman. Yeah, she was first referenced in Sandman. Then somebody did a miniseries that I read. It was awesome. I think it was Phil Noto art, or maybe he just did the covers. But yeah, it was a 4-issue mini long ago.
Well, I read Sandman, and I don't.
It was just a little. She popped up in one issue.
So she's not like a. She's her own character. She's not just like a a gender transposed.
No. Constantine. No.
Okay. Because I saw that and I was like, okay, they're gonna rather than cast that same guy in the CW shows, just
nope. So, but that's all I read because Dave read everything else I read. So, Patrick.
Well, what's coming out next week, Colin?
We have books. Actually, next week's a good week. We got Batman 109. We have Batman The Adventures Continue, Season 2, Number 1. Crush and Lobo, because I know everybody loves Lobo and Lobo's daughter. We have one I had no idea how to order. DC Horror presents The Conjuring The Lover. This takes place in between The Conjuring 2 and 3, I believe.
Okay.
How do you order that? I don't know how to order that.
You don't know who's Conjuring fans here?
No, no. And then we also have Nice House on the Lake, which I think is another another horror book. Yeah, but I'm like, it's a Conjuring book. I'm like, because it's leading into Conjuring 3 that's coming out. I don't know what to do with that.
I think get rid of no and adding care.
Yeah. I ordered 10.
Is The Conjuring the one that has the, like, Annabelle and the Nun that universe?
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't know. Knock on the window, where's Tim? Yeah. So, and then from everybody else, we have Amazing Spider-Man 67, just for Spencer. Basilisk number 1. This is I think it's a Boom, and I think it's a Cullen Bunn. Sadly, we're doing the TV show Friday, so I will tomorrow night be rewriting the script. And I know all this stuff coming out, but...
You know what, though? That's a cheat. You can't just guess Cullen Bunn.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Cullen Bunn. I'm pretty sure it's Cullen Bunn. We have a new Betty Page, Curse of the Banshee. We... Everfrost number 1. I'm not sure what it is, but I ordered a bunch. Firepower number 12. The only reason I point this out is they're so excited about issue 12 that they have... through O number covers on this one. Hellions 12 is a gala tie-in. We have Heroes Reborn number 5. So who's that going to be? That's going to be Wonder Woman or whatever her name is.
Power Princess.
Power Princess will be the star of this one, I'm guessing. Because we still have Nighthawk and Dr. Spectrum. So, yeah, they're going to do one on each character. American Knights. Our Heroes Reborn American Knights and Heroes Reborn Marvel Double Action. Immortal Hulk 47, getting closer to the end at 50. Iron Man Annual. Now, this is starting off their Infinities annual event, going through the annuals for Iron Man and Captain America and a couple others. I didn't order a whole lot. Marauders 21 is a gala. Moths number 1, this is a new one from AWA. We have Out of Body. This is a new one from Aftershock. Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters finally begins. So, those are coming.
3 months into the event.
Well, those were all preludes.
Yeah, I didn't mention that prelude.
Yeah, those were all preludes. Yeah.
What'd they call it? Alpha or something?
Yeah, well, there was Alpha, and then...
That was okay.
Then Star Wars, Darth Vader, and Dr. Aphra all had prelude tie-in issues. We have Tankers number 2 from Bad Idea. Vampirella 1992 One-Shot. I'm not sure what that one is. Worst Dudes number 1. This is from Aubrey Sitterston, who did No One Left.
Yep.
That's coming out. And then X-Force 20 is also a gala tie-in. So, 3 gala books next week. Very exciting. Very exciting.
They're just going to be like X-Men just going to be like trying on clothes.
Pretty much, yes. And say, you look great. Oh my God. Who did your hair? So, 3 issues just of that. And then Magneto kills somebody. But I'm sure that'll be in the plant-sized X-Force.
Good old plant-sized X-Force.
Plants, that's every time I read it. I read it plant-sized.
Someone commits a fashion faux pas.
Yeah. And then we'll get a swimsuit issue. Ooh, so cool they're bringing those back. They're bringing them back, baby. Marvel brings back everything, remember? Heroes Reborn. So that's what we got. You know, I have no idea. Well, we're not to next month yet. Yes. Got a couple days left in May, so I have time to figure out what we're doing.
Yeah.
For that, but it's still Ed Brubaker month. Yeah, that's about all we got. That's all I can think of that's going on here. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So, Pat.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See ya.